No matter the offering you give to him, he doesn't forget his principles. He doesn't forget his laws. He does not forget his rules. He does not give abundance to the fellow that has refused to show faithfulness in little, no matter how much offering the fellow give. Let me emphasize, in case you did not read, go and get my sermon I sent last week. All right? You cannot do anything for God and use that one to obojukali for bring forth a blessing. You know, once in a while, some English words don't work. So I have to invent. I have to invent new words, you know. What's obojukali? Okay, let me give you a proper English word that will work. You cannot by force the blessing out of his hand. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. Listen, no matter what you claim to be doing, God will not break a particular principle just because of you. And the point is simple. The one that is faithful in little is the one that will be faithful in much. Once I was preaching somewhere, and listen to this, I prayed a kind of prayer that the church refused to say amen. And I didn't blame them. That was the response I was looking forward to. I wanted them to refuse to say amen, for them to think something's wrong with me. Then I will now explain. I said, may you not find money to start that business you want to start. All of them looked at me. I said, I said, you didn't hear the prayer? They said, no, like they didn't hear me well. I said, I'm praying for you that nobody will give you money to start that business. See, you didn't erupt into amen. If I said that, I pray for you. Of course, it was like, Pastor, please explain. I said, if they give you money you are not used to handling, you'll go into debt. Let me give you advice now. All right, somebody comes to you and says, please, I want you to invest in my business. How much? ₦1 million. What do you want to do? He tells you this and this and that. And please stop looking at the business plan he wrote. Don't worry about that. Put his business plan aside. Say, show me the business you did with ₦1,000 that made profit. I don't know what I heard what I said. Before you give somebody your ₦1 million, I said, there's no problem. Show me the one you did with ₦1,000 that made profit. Because there are softwares for writing business plan. I hope you know. In fact, what is software? You can download business plan from the internet. You can commission somebody to write it for you. Before you give somebody your money, ask him simply, which one did you do? You're asking me for ₦10 million. Which one did you do with ₦10,000? Where did they give you ₦10,000 and you're able to multiply it? Because he that is faithful in little is the only one that can become faithful in much. Do you get the principle we are talking about here? Listen, as blessed people, listen, I said to you before, let me say it again. There is a blessing hanging over your head. It is yours, except that it's in the realm of the spirit. For it to manifest physically, there must be a physical body that is built. He said, a body that has prepared for me. And I'm discussing how you and I will cooperate with God so that the body will be built for his breakthrough, that for his blessing that lies in the heavens to come down and manifest itself on the earth. You know what I'm saying? Somebody comes to you. You know, I've seen it a lot of times. A man, he wants to do business. He's sitting there. Why are you doing nothing? There's no investment. There's no investor. We are waiting for people who will give. If I can just get somebody to give me $50 million, now just watch it. If you have a friend like that, go and tell him that you went to listen to the scriptures today, being taught, and they said I should tell you you're a confused human being, you are deceived. Let me tell you about the word deception. Those who are deceived don't know they are deceived. They think they know what they are saying. So if you find a man who has never handled ₦50,000 successfully, who is waiting to collect $50 million to do business, tell him you will go to jail. Listen, and in case you were thinking like that, repent and be baptized. One day a young man came here to see me. I don't know what was his problem. He came for Bible study a number of times. Then one day he said he wanted to talk to me. You remember when Sullivan taxes were new in town? He was looking for ₦250,000 to deposit to collect the Sullivan tax. So he wanted me to give him ₦250,000. Now, we will not discuss whether I had $250,000 or not. Let us assume I had $250 million. It's my portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Say the amen again now.
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate the prayer. But ask him a simple question. You want to go and get a Sullivan taxi? He said yes. I said, have you ever driven a taxi before? No, it's a very simple question. It's a young man. You need me. I don't know you. I've seen you your face a few times while I'm preaching. To give you, which I will never do. I'm a pastor, not an investor. Ask him simply. I don't know you. Never met before. You felt that, okay, you know pastors, some believe that pastors, either they are very rich or they are very stupid. One of the two. Or a combination of both. I've seen a lot of times, one young man traveled one day, he's been looking for me. What is it? That he wants me to help him with connection for his GNLD business. I preach the word of God to you free. Then you travel for me to come and look for connection for you to do your business. I told you when I come back next life, in quotes, I will teach primary school in Africa. You know why? Yeah, so I can flog people. If you do that in Europe, you're in trouble. But in Nigeria, you can't do it in higher education. So people like that can be flogged. No, I said that once in a while. Let me not get carried away from my message. This is the message, what I'm talking about. I asked the young man, have you driven a taxi before? The answer he gave me was, no. Why do you want a Sullivan taxi? Right now, there's nothing he's doing. I will take 250,000 and I'll give you to go and deposit to collect a Sullivan taxi. Once you do that, listen, I'm telling you, you have kissed the money, bye-bye. I asked him simply, why don't you look for somebody who has a taxi? If your calling in life is in that direction, or if that's an area where you feel that you can be productive, why don't you look for somebody who will not take 250,000 naira from you, but will just give you the car on trust because he knows you get him to, what do you call it, shorties. Drive the car so that two of you can prosper. That way you don't have 250,000 naira on your neck. You don't have that kind of pressure. Somebody else is bearing that pressure while you are proving yourself faithful. You know? That is why when you go to the bank to ask for money, they want to see your statement for the last 3 years. Am I lying? How many years? 7 years. No, the bankers want your great-grandfather's certificate sometimes. Their certificate. It's 1 year. What is the aim? They want to see your cash flow. The simple thing is that if you have been turning over 10,000, 15,000, you now come to ask for 7.5 million. The banker will look at you and say, do we look like idiots here? You may look at it, okay, they want to be sure you'll be able to pay. Yes, that is true. But the point is this. They want to see how much money have you been handling before you come and start telling us, give us a billion. Listen, these are things that Christians must understand. God of miracle doesn't just work miracle recklessly. I told you, it is not God's favorite pastime to be working miracles. Are you getting my point? Yes. You know, I know he's a God of miracles. Yes. Listen, you are not in the wilderness in which God has to be feeding you with manna. He said, I'm taking you to a promised land. In the promised land, there is a Lord there. Seed time and harvest will not cease. What I will do for you is to give you rain at the appropriate time. I will make sure the sun shines, but I expect you to get up in the morning and go and till the land. He said, I'm taking you to a land from whose hills you can dig copper. The copper does not ooze. You dig it. I don't know what I can say. It's not just go there and just, oh, Father, we just worship you. Copper begins to rain. Right now, we claim copper. He said, boys, go to school, learn geology, learn mining technology. Because this copper, I have kept it there, but I have said, you must dig it. You must dig it. I said to the young man that day, I said, listen, my friend, I don't see, if I was a banker, I'm now adding many words now. Why would I be talking to you? You have never driven the taxi. You don't even know how much taxes make. Yet, you are looking for a mugu that will give you plenty of money to go and collect a taxi so that when the whole thing collapses, you've lost nothing. You just walk away nicely. That was why that day I said to the people, remember my prayer that nobody agreed to say amen when I went to preach in a church somewhere in Enugu here. But I explained to them, this is the reason. You don't want money that will put you in trouble. Listen, money that comes very easily is not always a blessing. No, it's not always a blessing. It's not always a blessing. You know what they call glory? Okay, Gabriel, was you and I talking yesterday when I was explaining the issue of the weight of glory? That glory is heavy. If you are not trained to carry it, you will get into trouble when it comes. Many of you know Justin Bieber, Bieber. How many of you know him? That guy lives for the next 5 years. Beyond 5 years, he gave his life to Christ along the way. You know what I said? If at the end of 5 years, he's still together, then he must have given his life to Christ somewhere along the way. You make a small teenage boy a multi-millionaire. You see the degree of madness in his soul. You seen it? Why? Because glory is heavy. God pours it upon you. You can't think straight anymore. And that's why the God of miracles doesn't just work miracles all of a sudden. Not because he can't work miracles. No, it's not because he can't work miracles. It's because it is not to your advantage that he works the miracles. So he says, listen, in this land, I will teach you when to sow, seed time, and how to harvest. Many people need a job, not for any other reason than they need something to make them wake up in the morning. They sleep too much. You need a man to tell you that, where were you? It's 8 o'clock. How come you are coming 5 minutes past 8? He says, sir, it's just 5 minutes. It is just, how can you say it is just when it's not your time? Who gave you the right to value somebody else's time? Yes, it's not your time. You're working for him. He says, be there at 8. You can't be there at 5 minutes past 8. You're telling him it's just 5 minutes. You don't know the cost of the 5 minutes to him. Just keep quiet and say, I'm sorry. Now, sometimes God just gives you that opportunity to be trained. Remember my emphasis for today is that you must, listen, the breakthrough, the miracle of God comes to those who have a routine of sowing and reaping. We're talking about that fellow, the richest man in Babylon. Remember, by the time they were telling the story, and that's one problem. Most of the stories that people here. You know, the Bible says that the man knoweth not how. Most of the stories people hear, they don't even know when the real thing happened. One of the number of people I like to talk about, just to give this illustration again. In fact, I tell this story, these two stories. I think I've made my point. Now, just to emphasize this fact that one, there must be a routine, something that is normal. Go to work in the morning, come back, do business, in which you are emphasizing faithfulness, in which you are emphasizing deploying your skills to be of a blessing to somebody, and the primary thing is not about money. Remember that. Now, two stories I want to tell, which you have heard again and again. At least, even if you didn't hear it outside, you heard it from my mouth if you have listened to me long enough. But it's just so perfect to illustrate this. I tell those two stories and we're out of here. Number one is that of T.D. Jakes. You know T.D. Jakes? In fact, I just remember the third story. Aswekiye. Yes. Now, let me say something to you. Anytime, the Bible says that the things that are seen were not made out of things that are visible. A lot of people think that when they started hearing about something, that's when that thing began to exist. But that's not actually what happened. One day, I was watching a Aswekiye's story in my house. And then, I was with somebody there, and we're talking. You know, we're just standing there, it was on TV. And I think it's his pastor or a senior friend of his was commenting. And he was encouraging people to walk with God and be a blessing to people and all of that. He said, you also will be an instant success, an overnight success like my son, Asu. That's Aswekiye. And the person I was with shouted, overnight success! Impossible, what do you mean? He said, I know this man, he's not an overnight success. Now, of course, before Ewewu, 99.999% of Nigerians did not know who was Aswekiye. Do you understand? Then one day they heard Ewewu, Ewewu, Ewewu. You get the point? And everywhere you say, oh, there's one new guy. Did you get what I'm saying? What did they call him? A new one, a new fellow. The guy was not new. By that time, he had been doing that thing for over 10 years. He wasn't new. He wasn't new. You know, I just need to give illustration of experience I've had. One day, a young man came to one of my colleagues. He said he's released an album. What is the issue? That the album, he needs to be promoted. He needs to be promoted. And to promote the album, he needs 300,000 naira. So that man should come and give him money to go and promote his album. And that one sat down and told him simply, when your brother wanted to go to school, he came here for me to promote his No, that, my friend, is a very, very blunt person. Your brother wanted to do this. He came here for me to promote his school fees.
Your mother came to you the other day, I had to promote this one. Then you have now come with an album for promotion. He said, so I'm very, very sorry. I mean, how many things am I going to be promoting in one single family? Now, but I said to him, you should have told that young man to wait and see me. And I told the young man what to do. And I can just give you an idea. I said, you have an album. You're looking for 300,000 naira to promote it. There's an easy way. I will help you promote that album. Let's just do 30 weddings and sing for people free of charge. And tell them anything you give me. Go and meet Stanley as he's printing invitation card. Take the number of the groom. God bless you, sir. I'm singing evangelist and minstrel, you know. Look for a name for me. Okay, Banky, all right? Yes, as they were printing that your card, my spirit began to say, I can be a blessing to you. Give the guy the album, listen to it. What do you want? I want to play for you on your wedding day. Just pay my band for something, just what they will eat and all of that. A little bit of money for transportation, anything you put on top of that, we are fine. More than half will turn you down. Don't worry about it. Half, because of their own poverty, they will allow you. If you are as good as you claim, you know, sometimes you can be deceiving yourself. If indeed you are as good as you claim, you sing in 30 weddings, you will make money. After people will be collecting, you know, your number, your card. After while you print card, then one day you say, please, I'm busy, talk to my PA. You know, that's not so they take start. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. Breakthrough comes to the fellow who's busy in his daily routine, not the one looking out for the breakthrough. That's one thing I wanted, but he had left. I said, look, tell the young man, you know, the problem is these days, people beg too easily. And this is Nigeria, we're generally very generous people. Even if we are not generous, we don't want you to think bad of us, so we give you money. Professor Ayo Benitez said that the number one problem in the heart of an African is to be at peace with his neighbor. So even when he doesn't believe what you are doing, give him money so that he won't go and pray against me. All these Holy Ghost fire operations now. I don't go to sleep for night. So no, for that reason, we are too comfortable. You understand? We don't, you know, as believers, we don't use the ingenuity of the Spirit to solve problems. We just go around begging for money. That's what I wanted to tell the young man. Say, forget all of these things. You are looking for 300,000 naira to promote an album. And I have seen many albums promoted with 2 million naira that didn't make a dime. Those things are capital intensive. They play you on TV, on radio for a few weeks. You had better break through in those few weeks. Once they stop for 5 days, it was as if you were never born. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Nobody will remember one line of your music. As I'm talking about blessing, you need a blessing to carry that thing forward. It's not scheming. Listen, let me just say something in life. Eh? Try and let God put you into a simple routine that makes life enjoyable on a daily basis. Not your neck stretching forth every day looking for a breakthrough. By the time you heard the Ewe Ewo story song, the man had been in business for a very long time. Unfortunately, people think that overnight success is normal. It is unusual. What you and I call overnight success is extremely unusual. If you haven't read this book, go and read it. Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. He will tell you that before a man breaks through in what he's doing, normally he will have put in 10,000 hours. Now, it's not. I don't believe that law is always like that, but there's a principle there for you to understand. That is, those who have been exercised in what they are doing, that God tends to give that breakthrough to. Not because he can't do otherwise, or he couldn't have done it otherwise, but because they wouldn't have been able to handle it anyway. The other two stories I was going to tell you. One, T.D. Jakes. I like to end with a Ron Kenoly story. The T.D. Jakes that you know today, he was preaching. Oh God, I saw one of those suits that he was wearing those days when nobody knew. I saw one of those videos. Hey, we said, praise God. Father, thank you for breakthrough upon this brother. If you are his size, you had better be rich if you're an American to get a good suit to look good on you. He was wearing those kind of trousers that Brother Jigs, not vexed, just that we are trying to explain something to brethren. For the leg to touch ground, you get to sag down small. The original principle of sagging is not reach ground. You drag it down.
boys have now turned into style. It was supposed to be a prisoner's way of doing things. Because if you don't get trousers that's long enough, you just keep it somewhere down so that it will reach ground. Boys have now turned themselves to prisoners on the street and wearing trousers. Anyway, that's just by the way. The point is that I saw one of TDJ's videos of those days when he was a small man, not physically speaking now. He's always been a large man. But, you know, in fame, in reputation, I saw the video and I had to worship the Lord for blessing this brother. And I can't remember the details, but for more than 12 years, he was pastoring in one small church and nobody knew who he was. By the time you heard the name T.D. Jakes, that man had been in business for almost 2 decades, if you understand what I'm going to explain. But what happened to him one day, the same thing we're talking about. He went to preach for Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson put the material on TV. And then, this man that just died last year now, what is his name? Paul Crouch. Happened to watch the 7 minutes that this man was preaching. And that was when he said, who is that man? And that was the beginning of the fame that you and I know about T.D. Jakes. I won't say much more than that because of time, all right? That was it. It wasn't that, some people come to practice how he preaches. If you like, inhale until you faint. Look, I'm telling you the truth. Listen. It is not how he moves his fingers that's the breakthrough. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Don't go and be copying that when the man is talking. Then he turns around. And then he gives a shout. Listen, shout from now until you pee in your trousers. Listen. If you want to do it. I'm not saying it's bad though. You know why I don't do it? It's just not my style. There's nothing wrong with it. If I come tomorrow and decide to be jogging on the stage, as long as you are still blessed, what difference does it make? I can jog from now till tomorrow, as long as you are blessed. Is that not what it's local? There are people, listen, and that thing you are saying is a typical black man's way of preaching in America. No, it's not T.D. Jakes, it's a typical American black preacher. There are many who don't do like that. In fact, if you ever heard R.W. Schambach, used to shout a lot. And the day one woman wrote him a letter or saw him, the woman was shocked. He thought he was black. I heard T.D. Jakes, the Schambach talking. He said, that's why I like radio. Nobody knows that. A lot of people thought he was black. Why? Because he used to shout. I remember one of the messages we have, shout, and the wall would come down. Shout! And that's how R.W. Schambach used to preach. And people thought he was black. So it's very common with American black preachers. That is not the key to breakthrough. Did you hear what I said? Dwell in the land and cultivate. That is, make faithfulness a habit. Make faithfulness a habit. That is the point I'm making. The last story I tell before I close, I've told it many times. Ron Kenoly. This one, I always like to say that I heard him tell the story directly, so I'm not making a mistake. I had not written a book somewhere. I went for a school of ministry, and it was the person preaching that morning in Lagos. And he told his story. He was a secular musician. He gave his life to Christ, and he decided he wanted to minister the gospel. He went to Bible school, and then after that, he said, okay, let him start recording for church. And he wrote to every Christian recording house he knew and sent them his demo tapes. And all of them said, sorry, we are not taking new artists at this time. And one day he said, now listen, by this time, that's what I'm trying to explain to you, having a routine that makes life bearable on a daily basis. He was what Americans would call a music pastor in a church, a choir director. He had a small salary. He was working there every day, leading praise and worship in the church, teaching the choir how to sing, manning the instruments in the church. That was the job he had. He wasn't hanging around with demo tapes. Have you heard my latest? 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 He wasn't hanging around doing that. That was the job he was doing. So what happened? One day the way he told the story, after he received the last rejection, he said, God, if nobody will agree to listen to me, you that gave me the gift must listen to me. So he locked the doors of the church, sat down on the instrument, and began to play. He said he played and worshipped God and worshipped God until he fell from that place, laid on the floor and worshipped God until he was tired, crying and weeping and laughing and everything. When he was tired, he got up and said to God, "I will never ever again write to anybody. Thank you very much." He now faced his job as a music pastor of that church. My emphasis is the job of music pastor. Do you get my point? That was where he was one day. When either Michael Coleman, I still have not known which one of the two, or Don Wen walked in one day, not knowing he was there, they just came for a church service. Maybe somebody invited them. Maybe somebody said, "Come and hear this man sing." He does not know. One of them just entered. He didn't even know who was Hosanna Music. The man was just there, the guy who was just doing normal church service. He did not know that the stranger had come in. I don't know whether you get my point. Just normal, let's worship the Lord. Everybody raise your right hand, let's worship God this morning. And the worship was so powerful that morning. At the end of the day, this man walked up to him and said, "Hello, my name is Michael Coleman or Don Moen," one of the two of them. Not very sure which one. He said, "Here's my card. I'd like you to pray about recording." He said, "I'm one of the executive directors of Hosanna Music. Please, I want you to pray about recording an album with us." And the man said, "That was one thing I never had to pray about." After that, he released "Jesus is Alive." Many of us knew about it. Many of us didn't hear about it. And they now did lift him up. And God, now, it's not because the music was good. I mean, I know it was good, though. I'm not going to say that was not the reason why he heard about it. It's because God in heaven said, "Now, break through upon that fellow." And the whole world, I remember, even unbelievers, they were singing "Lift Him Up." And by the time he was teaching us in that school of ministry that morning, he said just before that, I think a few days before, it had just been declared the best-selling praise and worship album ever produced on the surface of the earth at that time. The other interesting part, "Jesus is Alive" now began to sell. I don't know whether I get the point. Those who did not know, they now say, "One other album, Jesus Alive, where is it? Where is it?" One more thing, this is an interesting one. That church from which he released out, where he was working, at that time, he was still working in that church. He was still the music pastor. In fact, it was in Halford, the Lopetai Faith Church, Victory Christian Center in Lagos. And Halford was remarking that they had an issue getting him down to Nigeria because he had to obtain permission from his pastor to be able to come. He was still the music pastor in that church. If it is money, that time he had more money than his pastor. I hope you know that. He had more faith. Who knew his pastor? If I named him, I'm still telling the story. I don't even know the name of the guy. He was going all over the world. But by the time the breakthrough came, this interesting part, he had given up on the breakthrough. Those who are running looking for a breakthrough are not the ones that get it. No, they are not the ones. Isaac, God didn't say, "Sow in that land, and then 100-fold portion." I said, "As I'm sowing this seed, I claim 100-fold portion and an iron amount." It didn't say that. God said, "Dwell in the land. Sojourn in this land. Stay in this land." And the man got there and said, "Okay, in the morning, what is a man supposed to do? I am a farmer. This is my training. This is my profession. This is what my fathers have done. This is what they handed down to me." He got up in the morning. Some people are waiting for God to speak to them. Go and do what you are supposed to do. Listen, you need God to speak to you. Don't. The normal thing is to do it. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's normal. That's normal. One day I was talking to somebody who wanted to start a business. I said, "You have to learn the ropes in this business first." Okay, I wanted to start a private clinic. I happened to know him. I was talking to him. "You want to start a private clinic? You just finished NYC." He said, "Yes." I said, "Why don't you go and learn?" I said, "Why don't you just go and work somewhere first? It's not now that nobody will even listen to you. You have to be a specialist these days in Nigeria." But those days, GPs, 6 years in school, 1 year of house job, youth service. After that, license to kill. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord is good. So I said to him simply, "Why don't you go and learn?" I said, "Go and work with somebody else first." I said, "Take a job in the state's Ministry of Health. Work for a while. You know, get used to the trade. Learn some more. You know how it's done. Get a reputation for yourself. People will know that you're good, and then you can, you know." And he said to me, God has not said I should work for anybody. God will never tell you that which you are supposed to do as a normal course of events. Did you hear what I said? Before you demand that God speak to me, please make sure that thing is unusual. Make sure it is unusual. Make sure it is unusual before you start demanding that God must speak to you. How can you finish NYS? I say, God has to speak to me to work. God has to speak to you not to work. If you are waiting for him to speak to you to work, he will not tell you anything. How can a young one finish? You're not doing postgraduate. You're not doing, you're sitting and say, I'm praying. I'm waiting upon God. What are you waiting upon him for? I want him to tell me whether I should work or not. God says, well, that's why I sent you to go and listen to Pastor Banky this evening. This is my way of talking to you. Stop being lazy. Get up. All this, your prayer, praise God. You are waiting for a job that pays in millions. All right? You want to go? Oh, God, let me tell you one more story. And I'm out of here. It's not a big story. One day I was in church. I was praying. They were praying for people. One guy said, I should pray for him. I said, about what? He said, he's a footballer. That he wants to go for international trials. So I looked at him. You want to go for international trials? Have you been to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium? He was looking at me. I said, have you been to Enyimba and they didn't try you? Aqua United, did you go there and they refused to try you? No, I'm telling you the truth. I said, did you go to these places and they refused to try you? He said, no. I said, oh, you now want me, foolish pastor, to pray with you in the name of Jesus. God will break open door. You will go to Belgium. You ain't going nowhere, bros. Go to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium. Try a day there every day only. You are looking for who will give you contract of $5 million when you have not earned 5 million naira. Covetousness. I told him simply, oh boy, you get some kind of prayer. Well, people like God, they're not training us to pray. He said, Pastor Bank, are you saying God didn't have to tell me anything? I know the proper order of things. Go and ask Kanu Wanko, Finidi George, all those people of those days. Ask them. They didn't just wake up one day and then they found themselves trying abroad. Look, for this Enugu, they play ball. They run around the field in Benin. Go Ibadan. That is Lagos. Teslim Balogun Stadium. They were there jogging around. That was where people like Clemens Westerhoff saw them. You now want to just get up in the morning. Do you know how many boys are keen to go for trial in Belgium? That's where the money is. Everybody's keen up. I said, bros, excuse me. You will go to Nnamdi Azikiwe. I will pray for you. God will give you skill. They will love you. They will transfer you for 50,000 naira. When they've transferred you twice for 100K, then you know you are ready. No, there's a natural progression. Now, I'm trying to follow that one. Then when God now wants to break through and say, no, your own will not be like that, let him do it. You can't make a demand on that. And that young woman came to me, the same prayer line one day, pray for me. You know, I was brought up to ask you what you want me to pray for. Not, she's where, receive it. How can you receive nonsense? You know, sometimes you have nonsense as a prayer point. How can you lay hands on you, receive it. Receive what? Let's talk. He said, there's a problem in his life. What is the problem? He said, when he helps people, at last moment, they will now forget him. You will help people, they will now forget you. He said, yes. I said, which kind of people? I said, what do you do? He said, I help politicians. You help politicians. Yes, when they now get into office, they will now forget me. I said, bros, they will continue to forget you. No, you know, if your prayer point is silly, don't come to my prayer line. No, I told him straight. They will continue to forget you. That is divine order. They can never remember you. Only, how would they remember thief like you? I didn't tell him that part. Too. That one was inside my heart. They know you. They can see through your heart. You are helping politicians to do what? I said, without helping politicians, what is your normal job? What do you do normally? That one is not a profession. Tell me the work you do normally. He said, actually, I'm a school teacher. I said, what do you teach? He said, secondary school. What subject? I think either mathematics or physics. I said, that's a very good job. You know me, I like teachers. I love them. I think they are one of the most blessed people on this earth. They have the opportunity to know that is, what are you saying? You turn young men, young women's lives around, bring them into a bright destiny. It's a good job, I told him. I said, let me tell you what you will do for God and God will bless you. You will go back to that school, forget these politicians. Forget them. They won't remember you. No, trust me. I refuse to pray for them. Why should, you know, there are some prayers that if I pray, God will amputate my tongue. Say, Banky, you said what? That's it. Your tongue is in his hand. You'll not be pleading. Baba go, stitch him back, stitch him back. I no talk like that again. I said, ah. I know. I told him, I said, go back to that school. Forget the politicians. Tell yourself, these children must not fail maths under my watch. I said, tell yourself, these children must not fail physics under my watch. I said, do that. Let me use the biblical expression, Psalm 37. Do that. Cultivate faithfulness in doing that. Then one day, the Lord will come back. One day, those politicians will bring their children to your school and you'll be saying, sorry, there's no more space. I'm sorry, we're full. So I think you should come back next year. The same politician you are trying to beg now to help you. That is what God does. That's why I said to this message, I said, there is a, I don't, which word did I use? There's the miraculous or the breakthrough in the midst of that which is normal. Go for that which is normal to you. I'm not saying become an average human being. I'm saying your life, there must be something that when people mention your name, they know this is what you do. Your profession should be your title. People should know what they will get from you when they need help. Who should they call? If you hear the name doctor, you know, when we are healthy, he's not our friend. I don't know whether you get my point. When you hear the name doctor, you know, we are sick. So this person is a nurse, you know, we have to be sick. These are not normal people we play with if there's no problem. You get what I'm saying? You know instantly. When they say, well, that brother, he's a musician, your wedding. You know, instantly. Do you get my point? Instantly. They are young men, they already know. Every half of the wedding you go for, they are the MCs. They are cracking all kinds of jokes. That's just the way it is. They are known for something. Let it be that when they want to do... Look, many DJs have a brighter future with God than many good Christians. I don't know what I get my point. Because I want to bless my children, but this one, what do you do? I'm a prayer warrior. What is wrong with you? Which kind of profession is that? No, they have prayer contractors. I pray for people. No, the one young man I heard is dead now. He will fast for people. When you have problems, you go somewhere and go and meet somebody that, please, they should pray for you. They now say, fast for 7 days. They say, but I have work. I have to go to the office. So that young man said, come. So 7 days. It's 5,000 naira per day. 5,000 retainership fees. Breaking of the fast, 10,000. How much everything? They say, it's 65,000. You pay him. He'll go and fast for you. And he was very diligent in doing it. So he collected all the problems of different people. Hi, the Lord is good. Listen, do you know, if you hear Pastor Banky anywhere, you know what I do. Yes, instantly, you know what it means. You don't expect me to come and see visions for you about the witch disturbing you. You know, I think you are the witch disturbing yourself. You instantly know. People know where to call me to and where not to even call my name at all. Do you get my point? Listen, that is the normalcy we are talking about. And you take pride in it. What do I mean by that? You make sure you do it faithfully. A good name. When the Bible says that something is better, believe me, it is better. Believe me, it is better. What's the summary? It is in the midst of this that God will show up one day. He said, be occupied until I come. I hope you've gotten my point.